From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
We begin with excerpts from Monday's press conference at the White House on the efforts to contain the coronavirus.
Thank you very much, everyone. Following the release of our reopening guidelines, governors across the country are looking forward to phase one and announcing plans for an economic resurgence. We're going to have a resurgence, too. At a time when millions of American workers and families are struggling with the financial consequences of the virus, it's critical to continue the medical war while reopening the economy in a safe and responsible fashion. During this time, Americans must maintain strict vigilance and continue to practice careful hygiene, social distancing, and the other protective measures that we have outlined and that everybody's become very familiar with. We continue to be encouraged that many of the areas hardest hit by the virus appear to have turned the corner. For example, recent deaths are down very, very substantially. You can compare that with their peak not so long ago. And you have numbers of 30%, 25%. In Detroit, as an example, it's down by over 50%. Congratulations. And in New Orleans, where they've done a terrific job, they're down 65%. 30 states have just one case or less per 1,000 people, far fewer cases per capita, as an example, than Germany, the United Kingdom, France, Italy, Ireland, Switzerland, Singapore, Belgium, Spain, Norway, the Netherlands, Austria, Sweden. My administration continues to press Congress to replenish the enormously successful Paycheck Protection Program, which has impacted 30 million American jobs. We hope to have an agreement very soon, and hopefully tomorrow the Senate's going to be able to vote. A lot of progress has been made on that, tremendous progress. It's a great plan. It's a great plan. It's helped a lot of people. So we hope to have a vote maybe tomorrow in the Senate. And based on the record low price of oil that you've been seeing, it's at a level that's very interesting to a lot of people. We're filling up our national petroleum reserves, strategic, you know, the strategic reserves. And we're looking to put as much as 75 million barrels into the reserves themselves. That would top it out. That would be first time in a long time it's been topped out. We'd get it for the right price. We're also pushing for the deal to include an additional $75 billion, our deal, the deal we're talking about, $75 billion for hospitals and other health care providers. Many providers and their employees have taken a huge financial hit in recent weeks and visits, elective procedures, surgeries, et cetera, were canceled. We think that they can all get back online. They'll get it done. The hospitals have really been fantastic. The hospitals, they've stepped up to the plate. They've really done a great job. We appreciate it so much. For areas less affected by the virus, we've issued new recommendations about how to safely resume elective treatments. HHS has also distributed the first $30 billion in direct payments to a million healthcare providers across the country. We've also invested $1.4 billion in community health centers to ensure our most vulnerable communities, including many African-American and Hispanic-American communities, have access to the services and testing that they need. Earlier today, Vice President Pence spoke with governors from all 50 states about our unified effort to defeat the virus. He had a great call. It was a great call, very positive in, I'd say, every way. Prior to the call, we provided each governor with a list of the names, addresses, and phone numbers of the labs where they can find additional testing capacity within their states. Many, many labs, we're providing you with a list. We'll show it to you now. If you need it, we'll give you the details. But hundreds and hundreds of labs are ready, willing, and able. Some of the governors, like, as an example, the governor from Maryland didn't really understand the list. He didn't understand too much about what was going on. So now I think he'll be able to do that. It's pretty simple. But they have tremendous capacity, and we hope to be able to help him out. We'll work with him and work with all of the governors. Similar to the situation with ventilators, States need to assess their complete inventory of available capacity. Some states have far more capacity than they actually understand. And it is a complex subject, but some of the governors didn't understand it. The governor is an example. Pritzker from Illinois did not understand his capacity. Not simply ask the federal government to provide unlimited support. I mean, you have to take the support where you have it. But we are there to stand with the governors and to help the governors, and that's what we're doing. And they have a tremendous capacity that we've already built up, and you'll be seeing that. We're going to be introducing a couple of the folks in a little while to talk about it. I want to draw your attention to Governor Cuomo's remarks during his press conference today. He said the president is right. The state's testing is up to the states to do, which will implement the tests and logistically coordinate the tests. We have about 300 labs in New York, and they do. They're great labs, actually. And it's my job to coordinate those 300 labs. I think the president's right when he says that the states should lead. And the governor's really, they're getting it together in New York. A lot of good things are happening in New York. And I think the governor's going to come in to see us tomorrow. He's coming to the Oval Office tomorrow afternoon. Andrew is going to be coming in with some of his people. So we look forward to that. Some of the articles that just recently came about, if you remember, and I put out a statement today, for a month it was all ventilator, ventilator, ventilator. That's all people could talk about was ventilators. And we did a great job with that. We built a lot of ventilators, to put it mildly. We have so many now that at some point soon, we're going to be helping Mexico and Italy and other countries. We'll be sending them ventilators, which they desperately need. They were in a position, they were not in a position to build them themselves. But we have thousands being built. Every state has had, they have the ventilators. If they don't, we have almost 10,000 in our Federal Reserve, our stockpile, as they call it. And we did a great job with the ventilators. Unfortunately, the press doesn't cover it other than the fair press. But so then you say, gee, they need ventilators. We don't need ventilators. And that's under pressure we did that. Nobody that needed a ventilator in this country didn't get one. And a story that just came out, how the media completely blew the Trump ventilator story. I'm sure you'd love to see that. That's by Rich Lowry, respected journalist in person, how the media completely blew the Trump ventilator story, which unfortunately it did. And here's another one that just came out. Kyle Smith, the ventilator shortage that wasn't. The ventilator shortage that wasn't, because we got it fixed. And we're also going to help the states, by the way, stockpile ventilators. So if a thing like this should happen again, they've got them. The stories on testing are all over the place that we're actually in good shape. I'm going to have the vice president and others speak to you about that, but we're in very good shape on testing, and we're getting better all the time. You're going to see some interesting things. I thought before I went any further, though, I'd like to have General Semonite, who's done an incredible job, tell you where we are. You know, we're still building beds in hospitals for people that need them. I guess the hospital business general is getting pretty much closed out now, but we're creating a lot of space for people just in case, and in some cases they probably will be using them. But I thought the general, he's been so impressive and done such a great job. I thought on behalf of the services and on behalf of the federal government, he'd say a few words about what we're doing right now. Thank you very much, General.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. I just want you to know that on behalf of all of us in the Department of Defense, our thoughts and prayers go out to all of those patients and all those victims have been affected by this terrible virus. And the President and Vice President talk all the time about the heroes, but I've been out there. I've seen the doctors, I've seen the nurses, and all those that have worked very, very hard. And we're just so proud to be part of this noble calling. For my team, I really made it very, very simple. I said there's three legs of this stool, and they all have S's. There's sites, in other words, hospitals. We've got to worry about supplies, and we've got to worry about staff. And so right when Governor Cuomo called the president about almost 30 days ago, he said, I need some help worrying about what could be tens of thousands of hospital room shortages. So the president and Secretary of Defense asked us to fly to Albany with a team. And on the way up, we understood how complex of a challenge this was. And we knew there's no way you can solve a complex catastrophe with a complicated solution. We needed a very, very simple solution to be able to then work with HHS, to be able to work with FEMA, to be able to work with the Vice President's Task Force, and then to be able to power this down all the way down to the local level. Some of the governors asked us to try to build a hospital in a parking lot or a field in 2 or 3 weeks. You can't physically do that. So what we said was, let's go to where there's an existing facility. And I'm going to kind of make this in two big pots. Those that are either hotel rooms or college dormitories, smaller rooms, or those that are in real large areas like field houses or convention centers. And we designed those standard facilities that could be either non-COVID or COVID, and then we got that approved here at the federal government to be able to then power that back down. So we went to Governor Cuomo, and he said right up front, I love the concept. I need you in the Javits Center. I'm ready to start having your work tomorrow afternoon. So when we flew back that afternoon, the next day, we basically built the standard design and then continued to be able to power it down all the way down through the rest of the team. So I just want to show you a couple slides here, and we'll kind of let you know where we're at right now, Mr. President. We had to do a bunch of assessments. So somewhere in the order of over 1,100 different locations we went to, and we worked for FEMA, we worked for the president, and we worked for governors and mayors. And we said, what do you think your demand is going to be? And based on a lot of the modeling that's been in this room here, we were able to understand when the peak curve was, but we also were able to understand where's the bed shortage. So then these 1,100 facilities, right now today, sir, we're actually executing 32 different facilities. That's on the order of merit of about 16,000 beds. 8 of those are all done. We've still got a lot more to complete. And in the next week and a half, we're going to complete about 15 more facilities. We've got some pending. Some mayors and governors are still wondering, do they have enough bed space? And what's important here is we need a very agile plan. You can't do something 3 weeks ago and think that this is going to continue to stay because this virus gets a vote. And this entire team, the federal government, has tried to be as agile as they can supporting those states and those governors. The beauty of the plan, though, was it doesn't have to be built by the United States Army Corps of Engineers. So we designed about an extra 52 facilities. We gave those to the governors, and I've got to be very, very laudatory to the governors. They then imposed and put a lot of those on the ground and did those themselves. So let's go to, I'm just going to show you some real simple pictures here. Go to the next slide, if you don't mind. So this is an example of the Javits Center, and you've heard the president talk about it quite a few times. This one, about 2,100 bed spaces. What you get is about a 11 or 12-foot square cubicle. There is lights in there. There's a nurse call, so if you need to be able to call the nurse station. There are nurse stations throughout. There's pharmacies throughout. This one started as non-COVID, but then we came back in and put in central oxygen. So everybody has oxygen right behind their bed to be able to take care of those patients. And again, built this one, about 1,000 patients treated. Let's go to the next one. I was up in Detroit with Governor Whitmer, and she walked us through and told us her intent. Here's where she needed to do this in the TCF Center. You'll see all the cubicles that are laid out. This is right in the middle of a convention floor where there might be like a boat show or a car show, and then went in and built 970 different capabilities there. And again, a lot of great work by my guys in the Corps of Engineers and the rest of the mayors and the city's team all pulling together. Let's go to the next one. This is called the McCormick Place. Governor Pritzker sat us down. He said, here's kind of our intent of what you want to do. Mayor Lightfoot walked us through, and we went into another large convention center. This is actually 3,000 bed spaces, a very, very large build, and got this one done in a relatively short time. And then here's another one that kind of helps you understand the dynamic here. Go to the next one, please. This is in Miami Beach, and I flew in to see Governor DeSantis. And my guys had kind of scoped out about 450 beds, and he said, Todd, how long is it going to take to build this? And we kind of said probably till the 27th of April. And he went to his health people and he said, how long do you need? And they said, the day we need this is the 21st of April. And I told my guys, you don't have till the 27th. Figure out how to get it done by the 20th. This is where you don't get the build to be able to have the perfect solution. You've got to be able to get the mission essential done. Lives are on the line here, and we've got to be able to get everything done to be able to save those lives. And let's go to the last one here. This is one we're doing right now, Colorado. This is in Denver, another gigantic convention center. You'll see all the different cubicles here to be able to just bring in that oxygen, 6-inch copper pipe that comes in, and it's all piped throughout the entire convention center, 6 miles of pipe that's able to go in to be able to make that happen. And in closing, I just want to be able to say that we are very, very focused in the Corps of Engineers getting this done, but this is all about the team, the federal team, the state team, the local team, the vice president's task force, and a lot of the people sitting here have informed us of how fast we need to go, and it goes back to, again, all the governors and the mayors that make this happen. But I want to reiterate, President Trump has called me 3 times, and Secretary Esper has been on the phone at least one of those times and said, what else do we need to do to set you up for success? Is there any other knobs we can turn to be able to help you go? And you think about that equation of those 3 S's, I think that with the federal government and the mayors and the cities here, we've effectively taken that first S out of the equation. And so I can't tell you, of all the things I've done in my career, this is a noble calling to be able to step up and save American lives. So with that, sir, I thank you very much.
Fantastic, Jeff. Thank you very much. Anybody have a question for the general while he's here? Anybody? Because I think it's very self-explanatory. He's done an incredible job. Jeff, do you have a question?
Are there more projects, sir, beyond the ones that you've just identified that you'll be working on?
So about a week ago, we thought we were about capped at 26. What we're seeing is, and I said, the virus gets a vote. We're seeing some of these curves are stretching out where we might have thought we only had 5 or 6 days. We actually have a couple weeks now. Other ones we're seeing exactly the opposite. So where we didn't think there was some, and I'm not going to go into locations here, but we are definitely get requests in. We've got 6 more requests in just in the last 4 or 5 days. They're a little bit smaller facilities in more remote areas, but our job, we still, if we have enough time to go build, we want to get in there, do the assessment. We work for the mayor and the city and the governor here, and we can still get them done if the mayors and those elected officials make a fast enough decision.
You might say while you're here, we're building, the general's in charge of the wall on the southern border, and we want to build 450 miles of wall, and it's very much under construction. You might give them a little bit of an update. How are we doing with the wall?
So, sir, I think the most important thing, and you stress this, and Secretary Esper stressed this, there's really several different priorities here. Our number one priority in Department of Defense and the Corps of Engineers is to protect the team, protect the force. No matter what we do, we've got to continue to take care of our civilians and our service members out there. And so every single thing we're doing, whether we're building for the VA or we're building for Civil Works projects or for the Department of Defense or building on the southwest border, we are going out of our way. I talked to my commanders this morning. We've got over 4,000 contractors that are on the ground out there, and we've had no positives as of this morning, knock on wood. Same thing with my 400 employees. We're testing them, not necessarily with a more stringent test, but with temperatures to be able to make sure that everybody's safe and everybody goes out of their way to do things the right way. Construction is going very, very smooth. What we're seeing is our contractors are extremely focused. Now that we've got a good clear path, both on the CBP program as well as some of the DOD program, we, I think, very well postured. It's in a very, very aggressive build, but we're well postured to be able to meet your expectations, sir, of 450 by the end of December 2020.
And we're over 160 miles.
164 as of today, sir.
164 miles, and we'll have it done sometime pretty early next year. Very exciting.
Yes, sir.
And you might just say one thing, the quality of that wall in terms of its power for stopping people that shouldn't be coming into our country.
So, same thing. If you have a standard design that you trust in and it works very well, I've got a pat on the back, Commissioner Morgan. He was very adamant to continue to be able to make sure that it supports his agents. And so we've got a design now that certainly does that. And then we've got a phenomenal contractor workforce that's in there, my Corps of Engineer employees. And it's going in well. We don't see any significant problems. And I think it's also important to point out that we want to do this the right way. So we try to balance this with environmental considerations are out there. We're trying to do due diligence when it comes to anything to do with any of the citizens who are affected. We're trying to make sure that we're protecting all of the things that we need to protect and try to find that balance where we can both meet the administration's directive while at the same time making sure we're doing this so that everybody gets a vote and everybody has a fair shake.
Okay. Yeah, please.
May I ask what you're doing regarding the availability of at the recreation sites that the Army Corps of Engineers operates, how the access is going there and whether or not there are restrictions?
So I'm an engineer. I take my guidance from some of these experts sitting on the bench over here. And when the president says, turn on America, what we initially did, like many, many other governors, they, you know, shut down beaches, shut down cities. I had a meeting with my commanders this morning, and as soon as we think it's safe, turn them back on. I mean, parking out there at a rec area where you're 500 feet away from everybody in a camper is probably low threat. I will continue to take guidance from the administration, but where we get green lights to continue to put our rec areas full up and let everybody go back out there and do things the safe way. I mean, we work for the administration, so I want to do it safe, but I don't want to be the last guy that turns things on. Not at all. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, thanks. Thanks for walking through some of the efforts. Do you have any, can you say anything about whether or not there are any specific efforts in communities that are hardest hit, like Black communities or Latino communities, communities of color? Are the Army Corps of Engineers doing anything that would be building any sort of temporary facilities for those communities?
So we basically key off what the city asked for, the city and the governor. There are a couple specific areas that certain city mayors have asked us for. Again, I'm not going to go into details, but we basically, if they go in and say, I'm very worried about a hot spot on this side of town or a specific community here, we will do, and that's what the administration is charged to do, is whatever we can do to be most responsive. We just don't want an ever to have an ambulance pull up to the back of a hospital and somebody says, we're out of room, go to the next hospital down. So that's where we're trying to make sure that that bed space is available. And so far, everything we built has been ahead of need. In other words, we're able to finish the building 2 or 3 days before it's needed. Thank you, ma'am.
So, you know, you have a choice. You can stay and watch these wonderful people ask us really nice questions, or you can go back to building beds.
Sir, I got a lot of building to do. I'm going to leave if you don't mind.
I had a feeling you were going to say
thanks,
that.
Sir.
Very impressive. That's an impressive job, isn't it? Seriously? That's really great. Thank you very much. He's a terrific gentleman. We have a lot of great people doing that kind of thing that they really have to get recognition for the incredible job they're doing, because I don't think anybody else could do it. Nothing like that. And that's on top of thousands and thousands of hospitals. And, you know, he built just in New York alone, 4 hospitals and 2,900 beds, and got them done so quickly. Nobody saw anything like it. Fortunately, we haven't had to use too many of them, and that's okay. That's probably better news than having to use them all, right? Because a lot of good things are happening in New York and elsewhere. So through the public-private partnerships and deregulation, the federal government has already made immense testing capabilities available. But some states need to take action to fully utilize it. To date, the United States has conducted millions more tests than any other country. You can add them all up, and they don't catch us. And our numbers are doubling almost on a certainly on a monthly basis, but almost on a weekly basis. We're moving very rapidly, far at a number nobody thought possible. And we'll be doubling our number of daily tests if the governors bring their states fully online through the capability that they have. We have tremendous capability out there already existing. And we explained that to the governor today, Mike, and all of the people explained it very strongly to the governors. They really get it now, I think. As the experts have explained, this capacity is sufficient to allow states to conduct diagnostic testing to treat patients, as well as contact tracing to contain outbreaks and monitoring to pinpoint potential hotspots during phase one. And there are some hotspots, and we have them pinpointed, and they can really cover it very, very nicely when they know exactly where to go, and they're being told where to go. And also these locations where they're going, and some of them are federal. Some of the governors didn't realize they were allowed to use federal locations. They are. And we have a booklet of the federal locations. We can hold it up. I think you'll show that. Maybe we'll hold it up now. Yeah, okay, fine. But you see the number things.
Thanks.
These are all locations where they can go, which is really pretty amazing. This is just one page out of many. Look at this. These are all locations.
5,000 labs.
That's a lot of locations. And they can all, what is it, 5,000?
5,000 pieces of equipment.
So that's, thank you very much. That's more than anybody thought. But, and it's already there. They have to use it. That's all. They have to use it. Some weren't aware. Some were very much aware. Some weren't aware. My administration also continues to support states with our massive operation to deliver masks, gowns, gloves, and other vital supplies. Admiral Polachek and his team at FIFA are really that. What a job they've done. And Pete, what a job he's done. They're calling on Easter Sunday to make sure everyone's okay. But they're using detailed data about supply chains to track the deployment of 1 billion pieces of protective equipment through private distributors every 2 weeks. So what we're doing is we're delivering a number that nobody anywhere in the world is delivering. FEMA is working closely with Dr. Birx and the distributors to prioritize supply of resources where they are most needed. We're finding the location that they have to get to that location. We have locations that are very important to get to and get to them fast, and that's where they're going. So we have a very strong priority. This pandemic has reaffirmed the importance of keeping vital supply chains at home. We cannot outsource our independence. We cannot be reliant on foreign nations. I've been saying this for a long time. If we've learned one thing, it's let's do it here, let's build it here, let's make it here. We've got the greatest country in the world. We've got to start bringing our supply chains back. Somebody years ago got this crazy idea, let's build all over the place and let's have parts, let's have a screw for a car delivered and made in a country that's far away. And let's have a fender made someplace else. And let's do this and let's do that and let's put it all together. And I like making it right here in the USA. And I think we've learned a lot about that, and especially maybe when it comes to pharmaceutical products. We've also conducted major military operations, providing cities and states with additional medical capacity. And the incredible 1,800 men and women from the Army Corps of Engineers, you just met with Todd, he's the job they've done is incredible. But we have nurses, doctors, we have experts in every field all over. Spoke with Governor Cuomo, spoke with Mayor de Blasio, spoke with many of the other governors that I'm both friendly, and yeah, I think I'm friendly with just about all of them, if you can believe it. But I've gotten friendly with a lot of them. I've gained a lot of respect for a lot of the governors, both Republican and Democrat, during this process. Some really good people, some really good talent. But we're sending a lot of our medical people, not only our construction people like Todd Seminite, but a lot of our medical people are being sent all over the country to different locations. New York City, New York State, New Jersey. I spoke with Phil today. He's doing a terrific job in New Jersey, but New Jersey got hit very, very hard. Phil Murphy, governor. From the day this crisis began, America launched a scientific mobilization of colossal size and scale. Someday they'll be able to write the true story, because nobody's seen anything like it. The fake news just refuses to cover it correctly, but that's okay. But the people are understanding, and that's what matters to me. There are now 72 active trials underway across the United States, researching dozens of therapies and treatments, and another 211 are in the planning stages. They're getting, I mean, they're literally mobilizing on therapeutics and also on vaccines. A tremendous progress is being made on vaccines and, I must say, on therapeutics. I mean, frankly, if I had my choice, give me the therapeutics right now, because that would help people right now. And we have some things that I think are working, not only working, but we have some incredible things that look like they could be an answer. But we'll know soon. Being tested, working out right now. This includes their therapies designed to attack the virus, as well as others that would hinder its replication, reduce the rate of infection, control the immune response, or transfer life-saving antibodies from the blood of recovered patients. And one of the incredible things that we've seen, and Mike and I were talking about it before, is the fact oftentimes somebody gets very ill from the plague, okay, from this horrible scourge, and they get better and they recover. And the first thing they say is, I want to give my blood. That's happened. The doctors have told me it's happened so much. I want to give my blood. I want to give my blood. And they're doing that.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.